very familiar scripture. While praying, my wife had called me. I was in the office yesterday morning. I stayed mostly down here at the church most all day yesterday. I was going to go to town, but I just didn't feel like leaving. And all morning I dwelt here at the church, and I come down here to the office, and my heart troubled over some matters. And when I come in the office and started reading and praying, my wife happened to call, and when she called, she was talking to me. You know, I like God. He doesn't care what we're doing. It's just you obey Him. That's right. And I want to say this to every wife in this building. If you got a husband that's willing to pray, you better give him space. Sir, you got a wife that's willing to pray, you better give her space. And I'm telling you, prayer and religion is not used for a cloak for meanness. Do I need to say that again? It's not used for a cloak of meanness. You can't be bad to your family, your neighbors, and your friends and come to church and lift up holy hands. Good salvation don't work that way. Say amen. You know it's right. Brother Russell told me he taught in Sunday school about forgiveness and prideful forgiveness. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but I will say this. David asked a question. He said, Lord, who shall ascend to thine holy hills? He said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, shall not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's the man that's going to heaven. I want to be clean and pure, don't you? I was praying. She called. And while in the middle of our conversation, God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go pray. My wife, she began to talk, and I said, baby, I said, I need to go. I said, I feel like I need to pray right now. I come in here and I knelt right over there, and the Lord began to talk to me, visit me, and I plan to preach what He talked to me about. Revelations chapter number 3. Starting with verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before me. Remember therefore, that thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That same book, just in another place, chapter number 2. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Let the Lord really deal with me. I want to preach out of verse 2. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. I want you to stand with me one more time for prayer. I want to preach. The Lord will help me on this one simple thought. Don't let it die. Don't let it die. Would you pray with me? Father, I come before you once again. And I need your help in this service. I need the power of your Spirit to touch my heart, my life, to preach your gospel. I'm asking for that same anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon the prophets of old, the disciples of old. Come upon me this morning. Touch me, help me, and anoint me to preach. And I pray, God, that the Spirit of the Lord would touch this congregation, deal with every soul, every heart, and every life. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have, in the past 24 years of preaching revivals and fellowship meetings across this country, I have preached from these texts. I have used these churches that I have just mentioned to you. But somehow or another, something eased out of verse 2 that caught my eye. And that is, that are ready to die. It's not dead yet, but it's almost dead. It's got a little life left in it, not much. It's just about to die. I'm going to ease into this before I get really carried away preaching. I'm going to ease into this. I remember walking into, we and my wife had been off, and I felt impressed to the Lord. At the time, I did not know it was God until afterward. And I really felt touched in my heart to go by and see Brother Ivy. Me and my wife had planned to go somewhere. And I said, let's just ride by and see Brother Ivy and Sister Ivy. I tried to call them. I couldn't reach them. And when I got to their house, their daughter informed me that they were at the hospital with Brother Ivy's mother. And she was in the intensive care unit, and it didn't look good. I'm going to get cranked up in a minute. I just got something to say right here. I walked in there to the hospital, the intensive care unit, and she laid there with all the breathing apparatuses upon her. And I spoke to Brother Ivy, and he said, there's no hope. He said, her lungs are developing to be as hard as wood. She's dying slowly. I talked to her about her soul. It's a great wonder. For many years, she was never saved. And Brother Ivy told me, he said, I just can't bear the thought of her dying and going to hell. Not my mama. So I left there. We went back to Brother Ivy's house. And somewhere in the night, she started fading. And they put her on life support. And when they put her on life support, we went to the hospital the next day. And we saw what was happening. The doctor spoke to Brother Ivy. He said these words. He said, if I take her off it, she's a dead woman. He said, if I leave her on it, eventually she'll be a dead woman. And we talked on a little more. And in the spite of it all, that thriving heart wanting to live, death overpowered it. She was alive, but death was so near that her heart kicked into overtime, trying to fight and chase away death. But she was too weak, in spite of her effort, to chase death off. Jesus looked at the church of Sardis, and through the mouth of the prophet, he spoke these words, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. And when he said they are ready to die, he said there's not a better suitable place. There's not a more suitable time than at the present. You are in one of the most death positions you've ever been in. You're ready to die. I feel this on my heart, and I want to preach this. I want to give you a little history of Sardis before I get carried away preaching to us. Sardis was a city. It was a well-known city. It was a city of a lot of trade, a lot of things that went on in that city. A lot of people thought highly of the Church of Sardis. It wasn't a church like the neighboring church down the road where people talk about it and slander it and all of these other paraphernalia things that go on with it and take and label that church as being this and label that church as being that. But this church was highly praised by everybody. Everybody that passed by Sardis, they looked at it and said, that's a live, thriving, moving church. They saw that church and they said, there's not a better church out there than Sardis church. It's alive. It's got life in it. Everybody around it that looked at Sardis church in that city, they declared unto it that that church has got something going on in it. But inside that church, when the examiner of all examinations, he came up to that church, he looked over there at Sardis, and he said, everybody thinks you're alive. He said, but from where I'm sitting, you are just about on the verge of being a dead church. I want to warn you, and I want to tell you in this house, it's a critical state to be in, that you know how to sing, you know how to worship, you know how to worship God, you know how to say amen, you know how to dress holy, but inside of you there is a deadness, a dying, a slipping away, a falling out. What is the matter, preacher? I'll tell you what's the matter. This church could not wake up and see its own condition. It did not even know that they were so close unto death that God stirred the preacher and he said, write this to that church. They ain't gonna listen no other way. He said, but you go tell them if they don't grab what they got and strengthen it, it's about to die on their hands. I want to tell you, sir, when death sets in, you can't stop it. It's like the plague. It'll run over you until it kills you. sickness was so far in the state of her sleepiness that she could not even see. She was a dying church. She was not even aware that death was so fast upon her. I mean, if you'd have looked, and God help me preach this, if you'd have looked, and I, when I was praying and preaching, and praying about preaching this, I really was so tore up. Last night, about 12:45, I was in my recliner reading, and I just felt, I just said, God, help me to understand this, and help me to lay it out just right. And the Lord began to deal with me even again. If you'd have rode by that church, and you'd have saw that group of people, you'd have heard it. I ain't preaching down the street, I'm going to use this church. You'd have heard a preacher in the pulpit preaching with his voice flaring out. You'd have saw people standing up inside the church. You'd have heard the music. You'd have heard them singing. Everybody in that church was alive. But there was one flaw that even that church could not even see. And that was death was moving it on her. He said, you better grab it. You better strengthen it. That's what I feel like telling somebody in this house. You better not get secure in how you feel and how you live. It'll get a hold of you and get to destroy your soul. Sardis was such a blind church. She was such a blind church that she could not even see from past experience how critical shape she was in. In the year of 546 B.C., the Caesars of that day had come in, and Sardis was a city that was besieged around by mountains of rocks. And one night, there was this one man came in with a host of army and come up in the twilight of the night and crept through the rocks. When them rocks cast a shadow over that city, they came in there and he besieged that city. You understand what I'm preaching? He overtook Sardis, and Sardis becoming the captivity. Well, that did not stop it. I'll tell you, even in the year 2014 B.C., she was besieged again. Here it is. Here it is, church. You can wake up and realize it. It's after the death of Christ. I don't remember the year that this was wrote as right now. But when this writer John began to write to the angel of the church and began to tell them, you better wake up. You done had two catchers and been delivered out of them. But this time you ain't coming out of it. I want to preach that to you this morning. You may feel like I'm going to come out of this, but be it known unto you, he said, I'm going to get weary with delivering you and picking you up and pouring you out. She was so blind that she couldn't see from her past that she's already been captured twice. And the third one was on its way. Oh, pray for me, brother. It's going to get real tight right here before it gets any better. Hear this. Notice when Jesus told this church, he said, be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. This church had a great reputation. It wasn't talked about like Ephesus. It wasn't talked about like Thyatira. It wasn't talked about like the rest of the Laodiceans. This church was praised by everybody. It had a reputation of being alive, thriving, moving, breathing, functioning body of people. But inside there was back rhythms of death that was laced around. What is it? Do I pray as much as I used to pray? Do I love God as much as I you to love him. You see, come on here. Clap your hands for me, few you brethren. It don't take a whole lot of show to be able to clap your hands. I've seen them clap their hands and shout and backslide on God. It doesn't matter. But what it was deadness was setting in. Oh God, things that they used to deem that was wrong, they're not seeing it as wrong anymore. They wiped their eyes of the convictions of yesterday and embraced new ones, and their soul is about to die. You ever heard this statement? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what you come to hear, but when you come to a holiness church, don't come expecting to hear Baptist preaching. You ever heard them make the statement that that was grandma's religion has not fit for us? You hear me? That was what grandpa believed in. It wasn't fit for me. What happened to this church was, she had had a beginning of being alive, but her ending was dying. What took place? One writer made this statement. I thought it so noteworthy. I took and wrote it down. It said, this church has been such great power in the community that the rest of the community realized this church is a thriving church. But by close examination, if you were to look at it, its ministry looked as though it was alive, but it was not living up to what its ministry said it was. Come on here. You act saved, but when you're put in hot water, how do you react? When things don't go like you want it, how do you respond? You got all the charisma of a weekend shouter, but come Monday morning when things don't go like you like it, how do you react to it? How do you move? Oh, you ain't wanting to help me preach, I can tell it now. That's what happened to this church. If you'd have saw them, come here, Sister Gwen, quickly. I mean, if you'd have saw them on Sunday morning, you'd have looked around and you'd have heard them singing, "Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us, and glory came, until in the light to light the way under the land of the perfect day." You'd have saw it, you'd have heard it, you'd have looked at that church and you'd have said, "That church has got it. That church has got a hold of it." But when the master of all situations walked up and began to look, he said, "She's dying. She's losing life. I can not suck for that. I can hear her. But it's a faint heartbeat. I'm picking up on a slow heartbeat." Give me, oh beautiful star. Crank it up. You'd have heard it. You'd have rolled by Sardis. And you'd have said, "That church has got it going on. That church is moving, breathing. Man, listen to the melody that's coming out of that place." Paul did have heard it. Then he said, "Listen to that preacher. He can preach. Listen to that church. Watch them. They can throw a building. They can worship so good. But on the inside, there was something missing." And Christ looked at that church. He said, "Be watchful. What has ever put you to sleep? You better wake up. Whatever's driving you out, whatever convicting you of your own convictions, oh, you better wake up and you better shake it off before you die." What happened here? In fact, she had a name. Did you not hear it? Did you not hear what Jesus said? "Thou hast a name." Somebody finish it for me. Thou hast a name that thou livest. What was we just doing? What was we were just doing right here? We was living out a name. We were living out a name. I mean, we... Come on here. I don't know where some of you are headed in your minds. You're getting easily distracted. Oh, you hear me? We had a name. He said that you're living. But when it come down to it, you were unable to produce what your name said you was. How important is it, preacher, that when I don't get what I want, that I keep a good spirit? It is the life source of your living. One bad spirit can set in an onset of cancer to your soul and destroy you slowly and slowly and slowly. When Jesus looked at this church, He said, be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You'd have looked at them, you'd have said, man, that church ain't nowhere near in the proximity of dying. That church, come on, Bethel. That church ain't nowhere near dying. But when her teachers sit in church and sleep, when her elders are not tuned to the coming of the Lord, when they look at each other and they can find fault with each other and wrestle with each other, and when the compromising of sin takes on, I'll tell you what killed this church. I'll tell you what F.F. Bruce wrote when he said concerning the church of Sardis. He said what killed her more than anything, it was the fact that she was willing to compromise with the devil. She was able to keep her zip, but she compromised with sin. She was able to stay functional. She was able to act like a breathing, moving church. You better pray, honey. But something happened. She began to slowly die within. Oh yeah. What took place? Does anybody in this building want to hear this? Have you ever seen anybody backslide that took your breath? When they did backslide. Huh? Come on. You ever seen anybody get out of church that you'd have thought, man, I never would have thought they'd have got out. No, I could have pictured somebody else in the church getting out, but not them. Brother Mickey, No. I would have thought it about so and so, but I would have thought it about you. What happened? She got so comfortable in her state of looseness that she became infected by a disease that she was not even aware of any form of identifying that she was dying. Oh, you ever hear anybody say, I don't feel convicted about that. I was just misled. Or I was just pulled by others' opinion. Oh, can you hear it now? Can you hear how every worldly church has slipped into the mold that she's in? That was grandma. We did it for her. That's why we didn't cut our hair. That's why we didn't wear makeup and jewelry. That's why our men didn't walk around without clothes. It's because grandpa didn't hogwash. It was the fact that we was in love from the beginning, but we lost our affection. She was alive. You can't condemn her for being alive. But what good is acting half alive and half dead? I figured to get this tight. I did. So I spent a little bit more extra time pouring a little oil in the lamp. You know why? I'll tell you, one of the biggest failures that happened to Moses was the reason some of them backslid and drifted away from God. Are you listening to me? It's because they watched what their elders did, and the younger generation followed them. You can argue with the Bible, sir. They saw where the Lord told Moses to smoke that rock one time. But they saw the anger of the preacher. He smoked it twice. Not only that, but I'll tell you what they saw out of the elder. They saw him marry a woman that God said he should never marry. How did come that happen? That happened because he thought, I'm a leader. Wake up. I can do it without you. When you literally live in an area where you think your decisions, honey, you better pray, don't affect nobody, you're in bad shape. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. She compromised so deeply within, her outward never showed her inward compromise. Come on here. Did you hear me? She compromised so deep right here that your outside never showed her inward compromise. I'm going to dig a little deeper since you're tightening up on it. I'm going to find out where you're sitting. What is it that's in your life right now that you used to hold in high regard, but on the face of others? You know what we call a hypocrite? It's somebody that can act the role in front of everybody, but then when they're away from everybody, they pull out the real you. Come on here. What happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. She compromised, and her outside never took on the identity of her inside compromise. That's why the community saw her and said she was a thriving, moving, breathing church. She was so full of life. She had talent. She had ability. She had all the glamour, the flair. But she lost one thing, and that was her candle was going out. She was dying. She was not even really aware that she was dying. He sent a messenger and said, tell them to strengthen the things that are remain, that are ready to die. When you say things that remain, that means that there are some things that once was alive, that's already dead, and something else is fixing to die. Some things you used to believe in, it's already dead to you. You don't believe in it no more. But now something else is about to die. My Lord. My Lord. You've heard me say this, and it's going to hurt your feelings when I say it. But the greatest form of a guilty soul and a guilty life is when a man or woman is not something I just come up with today. I've said it in this pulpit for years. 16 years I've been here. I've been preaching it. Ain't changed one bit. When a man asks the question, who talked to the preacher? It's a good sign that God's talking to the man. My wife is something else. I'll be up just a preaching, just blaring it right out, blah, 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 blah. Letting it rip. All of a sudden, I'll just feel like, man, I sure missed it. I'll get in the car to go home, Brother Brent, and she'll look over there at me and she'll say, I've been waiting for you to hit this so I could tell you about it. Hallelujah. Hit what? Did you know so-and-so went so-and-so place, done such-and-such? And I said, no, I didn't know it. She said, you brought it out tonight. Don't talk to Bethel. When you get to the place that you're so cold, that you'd rather have the excitement than the visitation. I said, you'd rather have the excitement than you had to have the visitation. Come on, I'm not surprised that they were trying to scatter this thing. Oh, I'm not surprised at all. It don't bother me. But the fact of the matter is, what's happening here is when you go to wake some people up that are dying, that don't want to be woke up, they'll ignore you. They'll sleep on you. They'll write notes while you're preaching because they don't want to wake up. They don't want to wake up. I remember some time ago, and I'm going to get on here. I remember some time ago I walked into the intensive care unit here in Albany. And while I was in there, a man was dying, Mr. Hayes by name, and you know him. I walked in that intensive care unit, that 90-year-old man laying there, lived a wicked, sinful, God-hating life. At one time, used to be saved. I like what Clovis Chappell said. He said, there is a possibility, sir, of you having God today and losing Him tomorrow. I walked in there. My father was with me. He knows I'm telling the truth. He was laying there in that bed in that intensive care unit with the tube running down his throat. He was dying. I walked in there and I said, Mr. Hayes, I said, I come to pray for you. He grit his teeth and bit down on the tube, did he not? And he went, arr! I said, his little growl didn't bother me. I crawled right up in the bed beside him, just about halfway over in the bed, and got right down in his ear. I said, Mr. Hayes, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved. He looked over at me, his eyes with swords in them. He growled and bit on that tube as hard as he could bite. What was it? He was dying and didn't want to wake up. How come you get mad at holiness preaching? How come you get mad and walk out? How come you get mad and want to stay home? How come you get mad and say, I don't believe it like that? That's our conviction. I'm not convicted about it. I'll tell you what it is. You're dying and you don't even see how close death is upon you. Oh God, give me just a few minutes and I'm going to quit. What happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. Sardis had been captured twice and she could not even learn from her past mistakes. I'm about to make another one. How many mistakes have you made and you're on the verge of making another one? How many times has the Lord pulled you out and you're on the verge of letting the devil take you right back where you used to be? That same spirit is haunting you at night. It's a bothering you and you know it. And you're trying to worship past it. But if you don't get a hold of God and say, change me. Change me now. It's going to crawl back upon you. But this time it's going to deceive you. It's going to let you leave your hands in the air. It's going to let you look like you're looking right now. But it's going to let you die right inside here. It's going to let you fade away on the inside. Oh, you hearing me? What happened to her? I'll tell you what happened to this church. She got caught with so much of being alive that she forgot she was dying with wildness in her heart. Listen. What happened? What caused it? It looked like he was alive. But did he know death was so close? I didn't think about it. standing in the choir singing, the Lord said, "Won't you prove this point?" I caught some of you off guard. Some of you was amening me, but you were not even paying attention to what I was preaching. Are we going to wait till it becomes a reality? I hear you, sir. Not only do I hear you, but God hears you. I don't like being done that way. Why don't you catch on fire? You're dying. You're dying. And you don't even know it. You're slipping out. Things in your life are starting to get looser. 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 What did he die of? I don't know. It's sad, ain't it? It's sad. It's sad that we saw you just a minute ago. You were saying amen. And all of a sudden you're dead. That's what Jesus said. You're about to die. Some things in your life has already died. You wouldn't have a television. But you done slipped out and bought DVDs, trying to keep the children occupied. And even have them at your house. Just for passing time. What happened? I felt something just then. She can't see it. Oh, ain't nothing wrong with it, preacher. I'm all right. It looks like you to learn from the past of the mistakes that you've already made. You're a dying, sir. You're dying, ma'am. You're slipping up. You're starting to say things that sounds like the old man that used to be dead. Look at me. You know I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching, don't let it die. What you got left, don't let it die. Not just me. But something's prompting you right now. Get up out of that pew and run to this altar. It's moving on you. And the longer you sit there and debate it, the colder you're going to get. I can't show it in front of everybody. Oh yeah, we'll see it when you go out. We'll notice it when you slip away. I want to close with this. If I don't never preach another message in my life, God told me to preach this morning. You better not let it die. You that's always having to be prayed for, stay encouraged. That's only the signs of how slowly I'm slowly slipping away. I'm slowly dying. I got reading on it, brother. This is what stirred me. Samson lost God without ever even knowing he was dead. Did you hear what I just said? Wake up! Listen to me! He lost God and didn't even know he was gone! Are you really sure that God's still there with the compromise that you've been going through? Are you really sure that you're saved? And if you die right now, the things that you've laid down and told God that you'd never pick back up, you're picking back up again. Are you really sure that you're alive? I'll tell you what happened. Samson went out, not even knowing that he was gone. But when danger threatened Samson, this is where it hit me, stung me, and I about wept till I couldn't breathe. He went out with old confidence. I'll do it like I used to do it. That was yesterday, Samson. You could have done that. But you can't do it today. You died. You died, Samson. You can't run on what you got 17 years ago, 18 years ago. And just sit back and say, I prayed through over it for myself. But how alive is it right now? Say, preacher, I don't believe anybody can honestly wake up today, be saved, and lost tomorrow. I'm going to prove two incidents to you in the Bible that it can happen. Won't you listen to me? Samson laid down in the lap of Delilah and told secrets. But then all of a sudden, she said, the enemy be upon thee, Samson. He rose up. And the anointing was still there. And he went out and killed and slayed. Won a victory. But the next day he went in. Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he went out with yesterday's confidence. Not realizing, today I'm dead. One. Number two, it's possible, brother. Mary, the mother of Jesus, went a day's journey, not even knowing Jesus wasn't even there. Don't you look at me with eyes of understanding. Would you turn and look at me right now in the name of the Lord? How long have you been traveling on presumptuous feelings that is still there? And he'll not be there. I hear you singing, what's going to be the tale tomorrow? Talent doesn't determine anointing. And what this church lost was the anointing. It didn't lose its talent. It kept its talent, but it lost the candlestick. God walked up to it and went, poof, and the light went out. I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, God walked up to it and he looked at it and the light went out. But you know what's striking? I want three ladies, and I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I don't know whether you're lying or not. There's too much of God in this house. I want three ladies that you know if you were to die right now, you know you're going to heaven. Don't you stand right there, three ladies, one, two, three. It's all right, come on. how all the deadness was in that church. He said, thou hast a few names. That are left. They're left. You got a few names that ain't defiled themselves. They have not defiled themselves. And he said, they are worthy. And they shall walk with me. And I'm going to put white raiment upon them. And not only that, he said, but their name that's in the book of life. He said, I will not blot out. But he said, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll tell you what I will do. He said, I'll tell God, Lord, there's Trula Phillips. That's my child. In her, there is no guile. There is no bitterness. There is no hatred. There is no jealousy. There is no malice. There is no strife. He says, come in. He looks over there. And he said, Lord, I found Sherry Johnson. She's right here. I'm not going to blot her out. She's walked up right before me. And I love her because she loves me. And the Father says, come in. Come in. Come in. And he looks over there. And he says, Lord, there's Angie Phillips. She's labored in the ministry. She's loved you and has stood for holiness and what was right, even in the face of opposition. And the Father looks and says, come in. Come in. Come in. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Stand with me all over this house. I ask for no one to go in or go out while I make this altar call. I ask Brother Joe and Brother Russell if they would act this little part out for me. I didn't know how I would bring it in. But I'm afraid we get shook after death, not before death. I'm afraid we're shook up when there's nothing we can do. Did you feel helpless? I stood there. Brother Billy, I want to close with this place softly. I stood there in that hospital that night. Oh, God. They took the life support off Brother Ivy's mother. We stood there and we waited. I prayed with her. Prior to them putting the life support on, and she said she confessed that the Lord was her Savior. Oh, I love you, Lord. I'm trying to preach as poorly as I am doing. Oh, don't let it die. You've made your statement. All I feel like I've got left is just a little flicker. But don't let that fire go out. You're going to wish later. I had better not let that fire go out. Oh, stood there. They had that breathing bag on her face after they took the life support off. But Ivy stood there. She was laying there with her eyes closed. Just breathing real hard. It's probably been hours or the day before she's even said a word to anybody. Doctor says she won't even talk no more. Everything's shutting down. She's dying. But I was standing at the head of the bed, and I was standing on the other side of the head. He looked up at me with tears rolling down his face. And he said, if God would just give me a sign. You remember? He said, let me know my mama is saved. He said, I can handle it. He said, but the torture of her dying and me with the uncertainty. Well, I don't know whether she's ready to meet the Lord or not. He said, I know she said she prayed. He said, but I need a little more if the Lord will give it to me. I reached over and took him by the hand, laid my hand on his mother's head. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I said, I'm nothing and nobody but your servant. I said, my preacher brother needs a confirmation that his mother's soul's in your hands. That's all I said, and that was the end of the prayer. It wasn't just a few minutes later, was it? She started moving her lips. They lift the bag up. And to the amazement to all the family that was in the room, everybody that was outside the room, she said, Jesus! But I just fell over his mother and just began to weep and began to cry and said, thank you. What happened, preacher? Death was chasing her soul out of this world. But right at the last, we was able to strengthen something that was remaining, and that was her soul. That's why I feel like preaching to you and telling you what's about to die in your grip right this second. Right now, in the name of the Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost dealing with you, sir, young man, young woman. I feel the Spirit of the Most High God right now dealing with your soul. What am I going to do with it? How am I going to react? Am I going to wait till it's dead and then cry? Or am I going to catch what's left and pull it up and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. I was preaching, and I'm done. But when I was preaching this a few wild minutes ago, I made this statement. Samson went out as other times and slayed the Philistines. This time he went out. He went out with old confidence and his own diet. Long died. And they were Philistines. And he couldn't fight them. There's Philistines of lust that's ruling your heart and mind right now. There's Philistines of bitter thoughts and reactions filling your heart and mind this very day. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost talking to me. Are you going to go out as you've always went out, like there's nothing wrong? Or am I going to awaken to the fact, God, you can forget it, sir. The devil ain't going to bring something that is non-attractive to you to get you out. He's going to bring something that satisfies this, feeds all of my emotions, and I feel warmth and happy. But then all of a sudden, she was alive. But when her time was come to be called, she was dead. Father, twice in this service this morning, I felt deep conviction. Twice, I feel in my soul, you prompt somebody's heart to move, and they didn't. For pride. That's one of the things you hate the worst. The chief of all sins is pride. I pray, God, that we would be humble enough to weep before you and confess our sins, for he is faithful and just to forgive. So I feel the pull of the Holy Ghost to preach, don't let it die. Will you take every feeble effort that I preach with this morning, convey the message to their heart. Let them realize and see and know. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready. That are ready. That are ready to die. Father, I rebuke every enemy of hell that set in to destroy these lives. And I ask for a victory on these altars in Jesus' name. You have a name that you live and are dead. Is it all you want is a name? Or do you want an experience? It's getting a hold of me. We need some preachers on these altars praying with people. Some of you sisters. God, I don't want a dialogue. I sure don't want a name, a conviction that I live. But I'm dead.
And if you have Just